Okay, so we're going to resume tonight on tefillas, davening on Shabbos. So it's actually, we were fortunate to learn Sha'arim b'tefillah together, which was all about davening, and now we're learning Shabbos. So we're going to combine the two and talk about tefillah on Shabbos itself. His karnu divrei akedah, we already discussed actually more than a couple of times, the words of the Akedah, Rabbi Yitzhak Arama, the famous late 15th century Spanish gadol, who said, "She'elu shel yadu masur b'soid chiddush ha'olam." Those who don't understand the idea of chiddush ha'olam, which is that Hashem created the entire world, everything from scratch. There was nothing before Hashem created. Hashem is rishon v'acharon. Rishon means nothing came before Hashem. Lo yadu klal me'in atfilah l'kadosh baruch hu. They don't understand anything what it means to daven to Hashem. Shim hateva hu kadmon. If there is some reality, some nature before Hashem, according to their false belief, uba behechach miyetzer hakol. So therefore, there's some things which are locked and fixed, and God can't just change them. Not big things and not small things. Therefore, just like Hashem can't change himself, so to speak, Hashem can't change certain realities in the world. And therefore, they don't truly daven to Hashem. Everything is set, just predetermined, predestined, or just there. It's like, so to speak, there's a God there who plays with realities, but the realities are there. Nothing to do. Therefore, says the Akedah, we, you and I, especially we've been learning with this, who understand and have been learned and believe in Koyach HaChiddush, that Hashem created everything from scratch and continues to maintain everything from non-existence to existence, we have a totally different perspective on tefillah, on prayer. V'hine, and we behold, anu yoidim, we know this, say, this foundational secret of that the world was created with literally nothing before. I was just actually learning with a Jew this week, and I was explaining to this because I'm learning the 13 principles of faith, Animam and Rishon V'Akram, explained to him what it means to be Hashem is Rishon, that there is nothing before Hashem. Nothing. There's zero. Hashem is before everything is created in this world. And in that idea of Chiddush HaOlam, we daven to Hashem to change the nature of things that shouldn't happen, all of the negatives that they shouldn't happen. Now, in a kavanah, that does not mean she'olam achadosh v'nisparach memela hateva, that since Hashem created everything in the world, therefore nature is like elastic. It's not, there's nothing firm in nature. Things just change left and right. V'yachal hashtanos lekan, the kan, God can change nature this way or change nature that way, because God is all powerful. It's not true. In a davar kein. Teva shenischadish who maisi spark shel nitzav shiner klal. Where Hashem created nature, nature is the reality of the world, and God does not change that nature. Rather, rak shaboyre mechadish chidushim, just that Hashem creates the world from scratch continually. Who in the mechadish shinuyim b'teva, and therefore, because it's, so to speak, rebooted, the world is recreated constantly. It's not that Hashem is changing nature, it's that He's recreating at that moment where nature is in that reality. And therefore, it's begeder chiddush. Therefore, God, it's new in the world. What was before is not now. I always say that before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, what you have right now, there's no guarantee you'll have after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because there's a new gezeirah, there's a new world. Now, the starting point will be, Hashem will say, okay, I've given this previously, we'll continue that, but it could be Hashem will decide Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. No. Not l'tov, chas v'shalom, not l'ra, right? Not for the bad. V'nei b'tainus is actually, when I saw this, I was very happy, gave me a novel idea of this Gemara. I really never understood this Gemara before, fully, apparently. The Gemara says in Tainus Chafhei, Rabbi Elazar ben Padas, the Chikali Milsa. Rabbi Elazar ben Padas was one of the Gedolim, student of Rabbi Yochanan in the approximately the late third century of the Common Era in Eretz Yisrael. It was really poor. Onimoid, Vesiper, Havi Yasev, Kamakosha Brucho, and one time just he's literally impoverished and poor and suffering, and his wife, and there's no insurance in those days, there's no social network, there's no social security, no Medicare. You're poor, you fall, you could starve to death, you can just, you know, your house can crumble, no one's going to help you out necessarily. How much longer, God, he says to God, can I suffer in this world? So in this dream, which he tells us to God, he tells God his dream, God tells him, Bini, my son Elazar Padas, Nechalach the Ibcha Alma Mereisha, Efshet Misyal the Beshat and Mizori. Your mazel, your destiny, so to speak, is to be impoverished. Do you want me to destroy the entire world in order that I can recreate the world and you, Elazar, will be not poor? You'll be in a different mazel, you'll have a different destiny. This is really, Hashem is saying, without destroying the entire world as we know it, there is no hope for you, Elazar Padas, to not be poor. Only if Hashem would totally recreate the world could you have money. And by the way, in the new world, perhaps your miles will be better. So when you learn this Gemara, I'm telling you, I learned this Gemara before. It seems to be, Elazar Padas, there's nothing you can do. Sometimes people are born with certain mazels, certain fates, certain destinies, and that's because we're born a certain time, or whatever, you're a Gilgal, you know, if you get into Allah, you know, Arizal Kabbalah. This is just your reality. Some people, they are stuck, and they have to make the best choices, decisions, in that reality. V'yesh l'haksha, says Rav Pinkus, Amashinago Bekal Yisrael. With Jewish people, what do we say? Bechol Simcha Mazel Tov. Oh, you should have a good mazel. Hano bracha v'tfila. It's a bracha, blessing, really a prayer that you should have good mazel. V'lechar v'manavshach. It says a pinkus. Either way, it doesn't make sense. If your mazel is set and fixed, why say Mazel Tov? If your mazel is already good, you don't need a prayer for it. You have your mazel. You, Hashem gave you, your tests and challenges will be with a good mazel. You may be very comfortably wealthy, you may have good health, you may have, whatever it may be, you have a good mazel. So what do I need to make a kiddush when the girl is born? People should wish a mazel tov. Why at a wedding or a bar mitzvah, telling them the chasen v'kala or the bar mitzvah bachar, mazel tov? What do you mean? They have their mazel is their mazel. And if it's not good mazel, the bracha won't help because God's not recreating the world to have good mazel. Shapri yishkoich b'tfila l'shanasim. One second. What's the bracha? V'hi anu mispalim? Or we daven that the whole world should be recreated, rebooted? What are we really davening for if that's the case? Now listen to what he says. Aval nira shirbi alazar ben padas. This Gemara, this is actually, I ran on this Gemara and I learned times multiple times. I never really thought about this until he pointed this out. Rabbi Elazar ben Padas, he complained to Hashem. Lo ba betfilah. He didn't daven. Lo betachrim. He didn't supplicate that Hashem should change his mazel. He came with a kvetch in his dream. Armatai etstayer bo'ilam azah. Hashem, how much more could I suffer? Valzeh ba tshuva. When he complained about his fate, about his mazel, Hashem told him, "She'ein shum efsharas shahamazel yishtane." There is no feasibility. It's not possible. It's not no geya. It's not germane to change your mazel unless I destroy all of the world, for everyone, and rebuild the world. But says Rav Pinkus, you know what the Gemara is really teaching us? Aval kasher boim b'koyachat tefila. Had he not complained, but he davened. Koyachat tefila. It's a change in your mazel. Tefillah, prayer, maybe a lot of prayer, but with tefillah you can change even your mazel. Shat tefillah is coming with the koyach lechash chadashim. Not that Hashem, you're davening to Hashem, to reboot, when the next reboot, the next second, you're not changing the world. You're not destroying the world. When you recreate the world at that moment, make me not like this. Iksim, by the way, what's the biggest proof of this? The Torah tells us, V'yater Yitzchak l'Hashem, and Yitzchak, he supplicated tremendously, prayed really hard, l'noichach ishto, next to his wife Rivka, kiakarahi, because she was barren. V'havim ha'shmoi sa'kasa, says her Pinkus, understand what it means, kiakarahi, that she was barren. She'enu kimo reifa. And if a doctor tells a woman, you know, you are infertile, you are barren, you're not going to have a child. Atakara, you're barren. Hare reifa, a doctor, even if he goes to a good medical school, is a human being. Ubasav adam. V'in yachol adas im ha'kara. There's no way he can fully grasp is she truly a kara, unless she has, whatever, she doesn't have the body parts. Afilo miyesh eza kokobogu, even if like her body's damaged, or the counts don't look, the blood, it's nothing, it's always... Ulai davar chitzaini, perhaps even this woman can have a procedure or take medicine, and therefore samar on ituach, and she'll be able to give birth. Means right now, no. About Kadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem says akara, she was barren. The Torah says Rivka was barren. That means no fertility medicine, no procedure was going to help her out. She was hopeless. She was not possibly for her physically, physiologically to have a child. The Torah says akara, not Dr. Smith, Dr. Lewis, Dr. Kayan, none of these doctors, Dr. Gupta, none of them. She's not having a baby. The Torah, it's Hashem saying, she's barren. Im ken ksiv ha-Torah, harisha Rivka yimeinu ha-isa akara. Rivka was a barren lady, b'metzias u'veteva. Her whole reality was that way. The Yitzchak, and Yitzchak who understood this Beruach HaKadosh, he knew that it was not possible for her to have a baby. Hispalo la Hashem. He davened to Hashem. Shayedi Itur. Itur is tremendous. We actually learned this in Shara Metzvila. Digging, you know, Shariboy Metzvila. Not only just did he davened excessively. And with that, davening excessively, and we discussed in Shara Metzvila, the mechanics of what it means to pray incessantly with fervor and with belief. That kind of tefillah, that kind of prayer can change teva. How? You're asking Hashem to change the reality. That's really what you're doing. You're not complaining to Hashem. You're not acknowledging. You are davening. And again, it's not that a barrenness is just some kind of pliable thing. No, this is a reality. The tefillah, as we said, chidush ha'olam, that God recreates everything, that there's a totally new recreation of Rivka. By the way, and he doesn't say this, but the Mekubalim do, that her soul changed because of tefillah. Rivka, we know, was born at the Akedah, right at the Akedah. And because Yitzchak, during the Akedah, she was three, her neshama changed. And again, the heavy Kabbalah, he actually changed her soul, which changed her reality through, not her core soul, but part of it. Again, this is super Kabbalah. That's how Rivka was able to have a baby. It literally changed the mazel itself through prayer. And to generally understand the power of prayer, you have to talk about before that everything is recreated. Not that God created the entire world from scratch, with no soup, no protons, nothing in the world, no galaxies, no universe, and it continues it that way, right? And therefore, it shows that God's in surface, God's omnipotence. Shekol metzias hagvul, who chok yashin shekol davar shuvil gvul shelo. Everything that that's created has boundaries, and that. But Hashem is not constricted or restricted in any form or fashion. In Gvul, when He recreates, and He can do whatever He wants, right? The reality could be a certain way, and Hashem could recreate it a totally different way. By the way, when Hashem, after the Mabul, after the flood, there was one reality of the world before the flood. And after the flood, not during the flood changed the world, but the Torah tells us, after the flood, Hashem changed the seasons, He changed the age of life of man, He created a new, different physical world, literally a different physical reality. If we daven, you and I daven with a lot of koyach, a lot of power, we could create totally new realities. But by the way, I mentioned I was studying with this Jew. This is a very currently secular Jew, but very highly growth oriented. And I was talking about Hashem is Rishon V'Acharon. Hashem is beginning of the entire world and the end of the world. I was focusing on the beginning that everything, and Hashem controls everything in the world. Discussing just how the Jewish people are, everything about us, you know, there's always a new recreation of the Jewish people. Like you look at us, we look at everyone disappear, and boom, right? And survival, and even today, things are, there are some highly concerning things around the world. By the way, just the past 10 days, if you look at the elections, you know, look at America. It's, you know, after that debate, it looks like it's nuts. But look in France. You know, I don't want to get into a political discussion right now, but like you have a far left, which is a lot scarier than the far right, even though historically the far right of France was highly problematic. You know, its roots and its leadership were highly problematic. The crazy reality is it's that there are our enemies are friend. They are largely on our side today, and the far left of France is pro Hamas with strong anti-Semitism in it. On a small middle, but it's not a good thing to have a situation. England has election tomorrow. You know, it doesn't look too good for us on the whole. I mean, there's a million things. You have Hezbollah, and you look at the world and say, we're stuck. No, we're not stuck. No, the world is not stuck. Hashem, in 1 second, could change all of the reality around us. Everything could change around us. I mean, I just, again, swing back. COVID. Why was I talking about COVID today? Somebody came up, I had to deal with COVID. Oh, there's a reason. Yeah, somebody I had to deal with got COVID. But when COVID came, it changed the reality of the world. And I remember being in COVID thinking to myself, the world will never be the same. You know, like you'll never say Shalom Aleichem and shake someone's hand or give them a hug. Like, it just felt like it would, and who knows, you know, a lot of COVID was not, there was certainly a reality in the beginning for many people, and even to today for certain people with health issues, immune issues. But a lot of it was fear. It was just a fear of the unknown. I mean, no one fully grasped how, what, you know, and people unfortunately made certain decisions based on fear. And then the vaccine and more information came out and it got less potent. But at the moment, you felt like this will never, we're never going back to normal. I remember people talking that way. 1 minute things could flip this way. Hashem is mechanish the world. Person has to understand when we daven with Hashem, all is possible. It means even Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, that Gemara, which I'm telling you, when I learned that Gemara many times, I never really thought about it. He himself, the ruler would need to be destroyed from not to be impoverished, seriously. But had he davened, had he truly davened, he could have changed his reality. He could have changed the reality, even though without that, there was no other way out. It was not possible. Rivka is barren, the Torah tells us. She cannot have children, not through IVF, and not through AUI, and not through medicine, and not through this procedure. Hey, no way. Yitzhak V'yatzer, he changes her neshama. He literally changes the soul she has to allow her to have children. That's the koyach, that's the power of tefillah, and we learn that from Chesha Olam. V'zeh Oris Gedolus should be a tremendous inspiration. People stop davening. It feels not going to help anymore. Impossible. The gasoline, the oxygen for prayer for tefillah is emunah, belief. The more you believe, the more you'll daven. And the true basis of faith, of trust in Hashem, is begdulas. The greatness of Hashem, Masha'in koyach bepeh lo'aymro, what we can't articulate, we can't even hear. V'lo b'leiv ha'adam lahakiru as borov, we can't even truly fathom. V'im kein, kasha leiv ha'adam kvar alav machmas etzat sara arvetz alav. And therefore, when a person has something which bothers, which depresses them, which is sad for them, which is frustrating, I know everyone reacts in different ways. For also from you, sometimes a person's sad and they just give up, they throw in the towel. Or karav lekach, or they're close to throwing in the towel. Beishal daito, there is no solution. Ein tzarasav pitron. Har be'emes chisaron gadol, that's a tremendous lack of faith. Team atamamin. If you understand that God has solutions, there's no way to get out of it. Hashem has answers that you and I never thought of. It could change the reality to get us out of it. We see in our little prism. There's no way. They can't. And even if it seems to be no human solution, Hashem is mechadish chidushim. Hashem recreates the world. There is nothing Hashem can't do. I think I mentioned when I was in the mirror that there was a yeshiva at the time, Nathan Tzvi Finkel passed away already, quite a few years ago. He passed away 10-15 years ago. But at the time he was a yeshiva when I was there, and he was a very famous, rightfully so, person, a tzaddik of a Jew. I was fortunate to have a pretty close relationship with Rosh Hashiva. So Nathan Tzvi Finkel, I remember one of the Rosh Hashiva, one teacher saying, he had severe Parkinson's, and he said, there's no solution for Parkinson's today, but you all should be davening, Hashem should create a cure, right? You know, to daven Nathan Tzvi Finkel not to have Parkinson's, it would be like a nace gadol. Not that it's impossible, but you're asking for, you have to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, that kind of tefillah. But why can't Hashem create a cure for Parkinson's? You know, polio, there's no cure for polio. People would die. There's still no cure for polio, real essentially. The vaccine did come, right? Right? Why daven for the daven that Hashem should create a cure for Parkinson's? And Hashem could. In 1 minute it could. Like, you know, actually, there's some better medications. Still no full cure. There's all kinds of cancers that 40 years ago were killers, and today, treatable. Down for the cure. I mentioned this story, and I'll just reiterate it again, because actually, it was the smartest thing I ever heard the guy say. In the election, one year, I was driving a car. I had a rental car. I borrowed a car. I was in New York. Because I remember what it was. I was in New York. It was in Brooklyn. And it was 2008, maybe? Or four? Or one of those elections. Election, and I turned on Rush Limbaugh. I didn't have no CD, I didn't play it, I had nothing to listen to, and I was not going to listen to some leftist, some Marxist. So I turned on Rush Limbaugh. You know, at least I don't like what he says, but I'll agree with his general things in some things. So the guy said it was apparently his birthday. He was like 60 years old at the time. It's the smartest thing I ever heard him say. Like, I mean, again, I'm telling you this because I agreed with quite a few of his positions at all. But he said he had implants, ear implants, cochlear implants, and he said he thanks God that he was born when he was, because had he been born 30 years earlier, he would be deaf. Forgetting having a show, forgetting being a multimillionaire, he would be deaf. He would not be able to hear. He would not be able to communicate. He would be totally deaf. But the difference is that creation made him able to hear. Hashem creates the world. Hashem could create the cures. We look at the world today as the Jewish people, and Israel Hashem could create, in 1 second. You got a person should have it in their personal situations. Again, there are certain things that need a tremendous amount of schosim, and we're not necessarily yitzchak to be the yatter to change someone's neshama. So there are certain realities that Hashem could create, the solution Hashem could always. And so if a person has a challenge, a person should not give up davening. Sometimes it's just how you daven, what you daven for. Now, again, just going back. So you see that Hashem could always change things for tefillah. And that's from Chiddush HaOlam, that everything is constantly recreated. Because even if the right now nature is impossible to have us, Hashem could recreate it differently. Could change the thing. And that's something that the essence of Shabbos teaches us. Now we know on Shabbos, we don't daven for personal needs. Now there are our opinions, we could daven for ruchnius, for spiritual things. Not everyone agrees with that, but many people follow that. They daven for purely spiritual things. But certainly we don't daven for physical things, including health at some level. Wealth, you know, house, things which are important, which are very important. We don't daven for it in Shabbos. The face value, Shabbos is really not the main time of tefillah. People daven, they're inspired to daven, they have needs. They have wants, and we should daven for those things. Of course we daven, we talk to Hashem for those things. And so therefore, we think, oh, Shabbos is a great time, you know, for maybe praising Hashem, but it's, you know, but it's not a time really of prayer. No, it's just the opposite. The Adar Shabbos is miyuchad, is especially the day of Davin. It's a time when we recognize that Hashem creates the world and continues to recreate the world from nothing. El tefila miyuchedes, but you understand that the prayer that we daven on Shabbos is different than the prayers of the weekday. B'chol yomaisa shavua, all the days, the weekdays of the week, ikar tefila, mainly of davening, is we ask for our needs. B'kachas rachim, we ask for mercy for all our many, many, many needs. We have many needs as individuals, as a nation. Tzarech ya'adam. Mashi'en kem b'Shabbos. Shabbos is yom yishol kadosh baruch. It's the day of Hashem is king. It's the day of Hashem. And with Gal Yichar Gamar, as we said several weeks ago, we see the oneness of God. The focus is not on us on Shabbos. Focus is on Hashem. We're not focusing on us. We're focusing on the king. We're in the presence of Hashem. We're recognizing the oneness of Hashem. Therefore, the way we daven is different. Not that davening is less important. Davening is more important. Just different. B'Shabbos nusach habakashas. We daven on Shabbos. It's eno pei hagdar shel ha'olam shelanu. It's not like our personal wants and needs, like refuah, like health, which are very important. Parnasa, you know, our job, our livelihood, very important. El benusach shakash baruch hu. The focus on us, we're in Hashem's presence. It's focusing on Hashem. Shebiyoyim zeh, kulam is asking, we're focusing on Hashem's omnipotence, greatness, His connection to the world, our small little world. And we say, Kadshenu b'mitzvasecha, we should be sanctified with Hashem's mitzvahs. We're focused on connecting to Hashem. Say, Chalkeinu b'sarasecha, give us our portion of Hashem's Torah. Saveinu mitzvahecha, we should be sustained with your goodness, with your connection to you, Hashem. Samcheinu b'shuasecha, we should rejoice in your redeeming, the Jewish people's redemption is Hashem's, bringing Hashem into the world. Taharli beinu, our hearts should be pure to serve you. Shekol ilam klalim, all these things are referring to connecting to Hashem, which is ilam the gul tachlis. There's no boundary. What we understand is spiritually to connect to Hashem, and it's really the purpose, our existential purpose. Habakashas, the request, the needs we mentioned in the weekdays, that's our personal needs, right? We daven for health. Maybe in some level it would be better serving Hashem not as healthy. We daven for wealth. Maybe it's some people do much better poor, right? But we daven for it because in face value, health allows us to do more, and so does wealth, and so does a lot of. And we daven for all the things we need: wisdom, human judges to help us serve better. All a million things like that. Lo chas v'b'Shabbos, which is like the world to come. We say there's nothing lacking in this world. Kilo malach l'chasur, just like we don't work on Shabbos. Whatever is going on in the weekday, I mentioned this the other week. We have a $1 billion contract. You're buying a company. It comes Friday, shkia, over. Doesn't exist. Like, all, like, kol malach tasu, everything is done. Nothing exists but Shabbos. It's Hashem. The world, whatever it's supposed to be, is going to be. Well, the same things are, nothing, we don't need to ask for things. Shabbos is perfect. We're perfect. Whatever we have on Shabbos, we have what we need. All we need on Shabbos is to connect to Hashem, who's in our presence. And therefore, as mentioned, the bekashas on Shabbos is lasanek Hashem, to rejoice with Hashem. Kadshenu, sanctify us. Savenu, we should be full with you. Samchenu, we should rejoice with you. Vasanek al Hashem, to have einig, literally delight with Hashem. But connecting to Hashem, as opposed to the physical, mundane, or even, you know, corporal things, those we can say we're done with on Shabbos. We don't have to focus on Shabbos. But connecting Hashem is, we don't say, we always, spiritually, even the world to come, people want to connect more. That's, you know, it's a world to come discussion. Shigam ba'olam haba, tzadikim elam menucha. The Talmud says tzadikim are always wanting to get closer and closer to Hashem. They go from one level to another level, because that Hashem is omnipotent, and close to Hashem, therefore, is omnipotence. El yelcho mechayel ochal. They go from one level, one strength, to the other strength. From one yeshiva, one medrash to another medrash, from one chesh, one level of Torah to another, and oil above. You're not static in the world to come. Righteous people are growth oriented in the world to come spiritually. So that we don't say on Shabbos, but our material reality, the deck of cards we have, we don't ask for on Shabbos. I'm in Be'ikr, as I mentioned previously, the Isser on Shabbos is to ask for your personal needs. And we even say when we give a Mishnah Berach for Cholim, why we do that, I actually gave a share once, I can do that right now. We say, Shabbos hi milizuk, she'en zoakim l'refuah b'r Shabbos. We meet when Yitzchak Fagin, you know, if he's Gabbai, and he's given Aliyah, he would say, Shabbos hi milizuk refuah kol v'rvo. You see, you can't call out on Shabbos. You don't scream. We really don't pray for sick people on Shabbos. But we say, refuah kol v'rvo, right? L'chor ezen nir kefs yeshuas rabbis. B'nei isra shlo levato enik Shabbos. At some level, we're supposed to be so focused on Hashem and connecting to Hashem, but we're not supposed to feel bad for people. We're not supposed to mourn on Shabbos. We're not supposed to. It's a loss. Tefillah on Shabbos is especially powerful. We're living the reality of recognition that Hashem creates the world from nothing and continues. That's the oxygen of prayer, especially when people pray for a long time and they feel they're not answered, or people look at, we're living in something which is impossible to escape from. Sometimes it's their emotional, physical, job, whatever it may be. They look at, nothing's going to change. Shabbos at times says, no, everything could change. So what more appropriate time should be than Shabbos? So why are we handicapped, so to speak, that we can't daven for our personal needs on Shabbos? And he says, especially, ubi yoyser, lefi ma di isi b'tikun ezer, the tikun ezer, tikun 21, in Tikkun 21, Tikkun Ezer says, listen to this. Shetfilah Shabbos, you daven on Shabbos, eino chayzeres reikam, they don't come back empty. El mitzkabelas beratzon, you can, they're accepted beratzon, kumo tefilas aseres yimei tshuva. Whoa! You daven on a Shabbos, it's like davening like on a aseres yimei tshuva. Like on the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Im kein yachol, the power of Shabbos, a regular Shabbos, right? Parshas Korach, this coming Shabbos, right? Lahavi, you can bring this Shabbos. Ah, Shabbos, you don't feel Shabbos Shuvah. This Shabbos, you daven this Shabbos. Lahavi Yeshua's, you can bring Yeshua's Alkol Tzoraseinu. You can bring Yeshua for all of our issues. You can destroy Hezbollah in Iran. You can fix whatever election woes we have. Around the world, Bamish around the world, right? Riboy Zaka, davening. You can bring Mashiach. I mean, you need the power. I'm a Gmarshe, Mefarshe Eshahev, Shkan Amr Nichas, the Vakas of Chel, Amr Shabbos, the Luzik, Rufuul, the Krav Lavo, the Amir Omer Yechalahi She, Terachim, Hashem Shabbos, Atzma, Veruchim. We don't really pray for sick people on Shabbos. So you visit, you see a sick person on Shabbos, or you bump into them, whatever it is. You specifically say, I can't call on Shabbos, but you should be healthy. Or a mayor says, no, Shabbos will have mercy on you. You don't have to pray, you'll have Shabbos have mercy. But what about the Koyach HaTfilah? What about prayer? Says Rav Pinkus, he gives an amazing mashal. An amazing mashal. L'ma'ad avradoyma. Okay? L'echad shemes, ma'ashem k'safim l'yishim v'simas. Now, I know, you know, I'm fortunate that amongst many other hats, I have to fundraise or lead fundraising for our the schools. For us, we have huge schools. We have like a few multi-million building projects. We have almost 1,700 kids, and the school's growing. So you have to build schools, right? We always want to build yeshivas. You know, Lakewood, Mir, these yeshivas are constantly growing. Ken Yerbu, you have Hasidic groups. Some of these Hasidic groups get bigger and bigger and bigger. Just the demographics increase. You need more yeshivas. You know, more buildings. So it's not easy. You pull the build. You know, you have an operational budget. Now you're going to build a building. Very challenging. So a guy needs to get money for a yeshiva, a certain yeshiva. Let's imagine he wants to get from an ashirim gedolim skum gadol, really a wealthy person, a large amount of money. And he wants to ask for money, right? He knows he's a good heart. If he goes straight to him and he asks for the yeshiva, I'll give him a small amount. Why? Well, this guy, this really wealthy person, if you know he's really wealthy, everyone else knows he's really wealthy, right? And they're all asking him for their yeshivas. Every single person, you know, this multi-millionaire, billionaire, whatever it is, he has knock. You know, there's almost like a sign, go to so-and-so. Like, if your last name is Reichman, everyone knows who you are. They're all coming. I over the years I've had different, you know, as a kid I knew some very, very wealthy people, and people would hunt them down. They would look for them wherever they were. You know, they could have gone on vacation. Like, literally, everyone knows they're very philanthropic, and they're big givers, you know. They're well-known names, right? And so you coming knocking on his door asking for a donation, you and 15,000 other people asked them this week for tzedakah, for a building. You're not going to get a lot of money, even though he's a very generous, very wealthy person. There's so many people asking, right? Why you? Why should you get the money? Ma'asa. So what should this person do? Give some fundraising advice. Some good fundraising advice. Ma'asa. Polish always say they buy. Beso. Give me some mashal, but it's a good mashal. Go to his house. Vishala, knock on the door. Don't ask for money. Ask the guy, you come here visiting, where could he get a good cup of coffee? Where is a good restaurant to get a good, hot cup of coffee? Don't ask the guy for a penny. Just ask him where you're going to get a cup of coffee. Now, this guy's a generous guy, a good person. He'll invite you in. Oh, you want coffee? Don't go to the kosher Starbucks or kosher pizza, whatever it is. You know. I'm sure, you know, if Rami... Paris has a good coffee. Don't go. Nothing against Rami, right? Don't go there, right? Come to my house. I'll give you some coffee. I want to give you some cookies. As it says, the Gemara says, "Farmu Chazal Gdoil Gima Shukman Kaveser Chaykim." Serve people, brings people closer, and he brings them in. He serves b'nei Sicha Niima Dalda. And now this guy's trying to raise for yeshiva. Gets into this house and they have a nice conversation. They have a creative connection. And a guy enjoys his company and he invites him again. And then he invites him and his whole family for Shabbos. And now there's a connection between them. Over time, they have a bond. Mishana goes on for over a year until they're connected, and the guy never mentions the yeshiva, doesn't say a word. Achar zman rav, after a long time, kshiyub is, by the way, somebody who's involved in this sometimes. This is, people give to people. And so, this again, he's giving advice in tefillah. If this guy's a phony, he ain't going to get a penny. But if it's real, if really, really forms a bond, he will get a lot more money than he would have ever got, because he's now their friends. After a time, he has this really good relationship with this wealthy person. He mentions, by the way, he's collecting for this yeshiva, and how challenging it is for the yeshiva. And there's not a base manager. There's so many students, and they have nowhere to study. They have nowhere to learn. So if whatever, this guy who became friends with over the cup of coffee gives him the building. So he swings back. If you would ask him to get in, knock on the door, you and 15,000 other people, what could you get for your building? You get $50. Here, after this year, this relationship, he got a whole building out of it, and he got a friendship out of it. Said that was a mashal. Says Rav Pinkus, there's a mashal mamish al inyan haShabbos. This is literally a mashal for what Shabbos is. On Shabbos, Kodesh, you and I and every single Yid, every single Jew, we bump into Hashem, but more upon Him, Olam Haba, in a reality of Olam Haba. It's all ruchnius, it's spiritual. And Hashem is Baruch, and Hashem invites us. Come to my Suda. Come get coffee, you have cookies, you have cakes, come to my Shabbos Suda. We're going to sit together. And we know that when you serve people, it bonds you, right? When you eat together, you spend time together. That's why, again, the Torah has laws about eating with Gentiles, not because it's against Gentiles. We don't want us to intermarry. Drinking, eating, all kinds of, bread has to be set because the food bonds. You go on a date, it gets a little service, you go out to eat, you want to connect. Even today, you want to strengthen a relationship. You go out to lunch, you go out to dinner, whatever. Food is a bonding experience. If you want to build a friendship over Shabbos lunch, you invite your good friends over, or people you want to build relationships with. On Shabbos, we want a relationship with Hashem. It's not about telling you what we need to raise. Oh, I need this, Hashem, I need this. No, it's all about the relationship. You're with Hashem. It's Ava v'chiba shcheresav b'Shabbos. You're connecting to Hashem, Melech Malki, Amlochim. You're enjoying being with Hashem. You're not worried about the business deal or about that. It's not about you. It's about the relationship with Hashem on Shabbos. It's all about the relationship on Shabbos. B'shulo yoyimu shkomachat kanu tos atzmo. Elokom rava daitim shirchim. It's all enjoyable. Toiru tefila. You're praising Hashem. You're connecting to Hashem. Singing zmiros to Hashem. Thanking Hashem for Shabbos. Right? Enjoying the relationship to being a yid in Hashem. And seeing the godless of Hashem. Now, that's k'shemagid Hashem motzei Shabbos. When you get, we're coming out of it. Now your relationship. And you can say Motei Shabbos, all these tefillahs, you say Ve'yiten, and you say Baruch Olam, then your tefillahs will be answered because you have the connection to Hashem. It's interesting that the Tikkun Zohar seems to say it's on Shabbos itself. The way he understands the Tikkun Zohar is that your tefillahs are going to be answered because of your davening on Shabbos, because of our connection on Shabbos, because we're now close to Hashem. We're not just like another person knocking on the door. We have this deep relationship with Hashem. Such a person, Hashem gives us what we need. And it's understanding through Shabbos of that all is possible with Hashem. Everything is possible. We're not locked, we're not limited. The Shabbos creates that recognition to us, not just of Shabbos, not just of the greatness of Hashem, but the ability of us to daven to Hashem, to take advantage of our tefillah. Actually, this parak is a good bond, good connection for Sharm HaTefillah and Shabbos Malchasa. And it really, if we take it to heart, it won't just change our Shabbos forever, it'll change our tefillah forever. Okay, we're going to hold it here.